Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
You can take a seat. Those of you who don't know me, my name is April Colquitt. I am our Wellspring Kids Director here at Wellspring Church, and sometimes I get the chance to be here and teach a little bit to adults, which is so fun, too. My passion is teaching, and so whether it's kids or adults, this is what I love to do. So how many of you love projects? How many of you are project people? Show of hands. You love to start new projects. You get excited to redecorate a room of your house. Aaron Dietrich, I see you on the front row. How many of you love to paint a room or paint furniture? Or maybe it's just something like organizing your garage that you get excited to do. Some of you parents, I'm sure, were very excited about the project of sending your children back to school a couple of weeks ago. Are you still excited about that? Are you excited for a break tomorrow? You get to have the morning off a little bit with no school. I'm one of those people who get really excited to start new projects, and I love to get going and have a plan for what I'm doing, but oftentimes I find that as soon as I get started on that project, whatever it is, whether it's something at my house or even a project at work, there will be some sort of distraction that interrupts my focus. Like I have to stop and make dinner for my family. And so by the time I get all of that cleaned up and everybody's settled down for the night, I'm just too tired to go back to that work. And so I'll think, well, I'll pick it back up tomorrow, and inevitably somebody might wake up sick in my house. And so I'll spend the next day at the doctor's office taking care of sick people, and then the next day I'm trying to catch back up on work. And by the time I get back to that project, it's a lot harder, it's taking a lot longer than I thought it was going to, and I'll start to wonder, why did I start this? Is this even really worth it? Are any of you like that? I'll give you an example of a project like that I started once. When our first daughter was born, I had this big plan of making cute scrapbooks for my kids, baby books. And so when Allie was born, I made a really nice memory book for her of the first year of her life and all about, you know, my pregnancy story and all these cute, fun things. And then when Sam, our second child, was born, I basically printed pictures and put them in a photo album and wrote little notes beside a few of them. And then when our third child was born, I was doing good just to get some pictures printed. In truth, I'm not sure she ever had a baby picture framed in our house. She might have been three before we ever framed a picture of her. It's not because we don't love Emily. It's just that I was so busy and so distracted by all the other urgent things. And isn't that how it is? No matter what that project is, whether it's work-related or school-related or maybe even a new relationship that you have, it can be difficult to finish what you start because of all the distractions. There are all these things that get in the way that cause us to lose a specific focus that we started with. And it could be things like your phone keeps getting texts or phone calls. It could be that someone keeps stopping by your office at work, or there's a fly buzzing around the room that keeps distracting you. Sometimes it's just that we get tired and we're fatigued, or maybe we're feeling hungry and we can't concentrate on what we're trying to do. Or you get sick, or there's a crisis that needs your attention, or plans fall through. Inevitably, there will be some type of distraction. And the reason that I bring that up is because we've been in this series called Dream for a Decade for the last few weeks. And we've been talking about the big dreams that we have for our lives, more specifically, the big dreams that God has for our lives. And so Trey has challenged all of us to ask this question: God, what is your dream for the next decade of my life? And we've been learning that we all have some area of life where we recognize that something isn't what it should be or could be, and so we have a dream of making it better. We have a hope for improving that area of life. And so because we believe that God's plan is the best thing for us, we've been challenged to wrestle with what God might want to do in us or through us to make something better. So if you haven't been here for the last few weeks, I want to encourage you to go to your Wellspring app or go online and download those messages and catch up, because they're very helpful in how you think about your dream for the future. But if you have been here, you've been following with us online, hopefully God has already begun to show you some of the dreams that he has for your life. And maybe you've already begun to put together a path to pursue that dream. You already have a vision for how to get there. And you're feeling inspired and motivated. Maybe you've even already started to take some steps towards that divine destination, as Trey has said. But just like those projects at home, just like those home improvement projects, just like the scrapbook that I just told you about, the thing is that dreams will be met with distractions too. There will be things that interfere with your dream. The daily grind of life will interfere at some point with whatever your dream is, whatever that divine destination is. Maybe you'll get sick, maybe there'll be a crisis, there will be bills to pay, people will need to eat in your house, there will be plans that fall through, things that you didn't expect, urgencies that will demand your attention, and before you know it, what could be and what should be gets lost beneath the reality of what currently is. The urgent will rise above the important, and your dream will get buried beneath what must be in the moment. There will be distractions to your dream, and it could come in many forms. Distractions have the ability to derail your dreams. Distractions can derail your dreams, even a God-sized dream. Even a dream that begins with a divine dissatisfaction, even a dream that you know that you are so confident God has given you, will be met with distractions, and those distractions can derail your dreams if you aren't very intentional. And I know I sound like Debbie Downer, but I promise my hope today is not to crush your dreams. We didn't do this whole series called Dream for a Decade just to send you out the door on the last day of the series and say, good luck with that. My hope today is to prepare you for what will come so that when it arrives, you can identify it and you can know how to handle it. Because distractions can derail your dreams, but only if you allow it. There's a key component that we all need in order to defeat those distractions, and it is determination. Determination. How many of you parents and teachers in the room know how difficult it is to get a child to do something that you have instructed them to do without them getting distracted? Whether it's getting out the door for school on time or completing their homework or gathering all of their baseball gear and getting to practice with all of their baseball gear, not forgetting anything. It can be really hard to keep our children focused and not distracted by everything they see and hear. We've adopted a phrase in our house where I'll say, move with purpose. Move with purpose. In other words, don't get distracted by everything. You have been given a task, a job, a role. Don't get sidetracked. Keep moving with purpose. And sometimes as a mom, I mean, maybe this doesn't happen to you, but I have to firmly remind them to move with purpose. That's why I love this definition of determination, firmness of purpose, a firmness of purpose, unbothered, unwavering, not derailed by every distraction that you see and hear. In order to defeat all of the distractions, we need a determination that comes with a firmness of purpose. For the last few weeks in this series, we have been learning about a man named Nehemiah from the Old Testament. And we've been looking at Nehemiah's story because God gave Nehemiah a very big dream. He had a divine dissatisfaction when he looked at the nation of Israel and saw it in ruins. And he had a hope and a dream of making it better. But Nehemiah's dreams were met with a great deal of distractions. But the thing about Nehemiah is that he possessed a great deal of determination. He had a firmness of purpose. He would stop for no reason to see that dream become a reality. Nothing was going to stop the direction of his divine destination. And oddly enough, some of the very same distractions that Nehemiah faced, wouldn't you know, are some of the same things that we face as we are moving towards our dreams. And so I want to take a few minutes this morning just to look at Nehemiah's story and some of the distractions that he faced, because I believe that they can help encourage us and learn how to respond to those distractions when we are faced with them. One of the very first things that Nehemiah did was he developed a plan for his dream. And just to catch you up kind of on where we are in Nehemiah's story, if you haven't been here for the last few weeks, basically God gave him a dream for rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem because it was in ruins. And the regions that were surrounding that area were benefiting both politically and economically from Israel's weakness. And so Nehemiah's plan was to rebuild that wall so that Israel could be restored to a strong, powerful nation once again. But the people, the rulers of those surrounding regions, didn't want that to happen because they were benefiting. One man in particular, who was the governor of Samaria, his name is Sanballat, he was benefiting the most. And so he absolutely did not want to see the wall rebuilt. And he made it his personal mission to stop the wall of Jerusalem being rebuilt. And so he put together a plan. He basically called together the other rulers to join his team, and they planned an attack against the nation of Israel, against the workers on the wall. But Nehemiah caught wind of that information, and so he told his workers, he said, "At all times, I want you to stay armed and ready for battle, but continue working." And so it didn't take long for Sanballat and his crew to realize that they were not going to be able to make a successful attack against the workers. And so they changed their tactics. And Sanballat began to zero in specifically on Nehemiah as the leader of the project, because he thought if he could distract Nehemiah, then he could impede the progress on the wall. So if you're a leader of any kind of organization, a leader in your school, a leader in your workplace, or maybe you're just the leader of your household, take some notes, because the distractions will sometimes come after the leader, because if the leader can get distracted, then the whole project might fail. So Sanballat, he begins sending all of these messages to Nehemiah as he's working on the wall. You know how hard it is to stay focused at work or at school or whatever you're doing, and you keep getting text messages on your phone or phone calls, and you know you should ignore them, but what if it's something urgent? What if somebody needs your help, or what if you have a family emergency, or maybe you're supposed to be in a meeting that you forgot about? I wouldn't know anything about that, but Nehemiah can't just silence his phone. There are people constantly coming to Nehemiah saying, "Excuse me, sir, we have a message for you. Excuse me, Nehemiah, we have another message for you." And it's over and over and over. And so one of those messages that Sanballat sends to Nehemiah comes in an unsealed envelope. It's not sealed, which basically means that it would have passed through the hands of many people before reaching Nehemiah, and it would be the equivalent of a carbon copied email to everyone in your workplace. Anybody could have read that. And Sanballat is intentionally trying to spread a rumor, a nasty rumor about Nehemiah. He criticizes him by saying that the reason Nehemiah really wanted to rebuild the walls because he's trying to promote himself as the next king of Israel. And it's completely untrue. But at that time, that kind of rumor had the ability to derail Nehemiah's dream by turning his own people against him. Distractions can derail your dreams, especially when they come in the form of criticism. Distractions can derail your dreams when they come as criticism. When someone is unsupportive of what you're doing, when someone doesn't get what you're trying to achieve, or they don't like what you're trying to achieve and they question it, they make false accusations, it can be very distracting. It causes us to lose our focus. And so look at how Nehemiah responds to the criticism. He says, "I replied, 'There's no truth in any part of your story. You are making up the whole thing.'" He simply says, "Not true." But he's busy and he doesn't have time to get involved in long drawn out debates or hearsay about what's true and what's not true. He just sees the criticism for what it is. He says, "They were just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work." They were just trying to intimidate us. When someone is criticizing you, when they're questioning you, judging your every move, it's very intimidating. But the longer you spend, the more energy you use answering those critics, the more distracted and discouraged you will become from your dream. And so Nehemiah responds with the very opposite of intimidation. Look at what he does. So I continued the work with even greater determination. Nehemiah uses the criticism to drive the determination of his dream. He uses it like fuel to make him even more determined. Have you ever considered when you are criticized that if you will stay determined to keep moving towards your divine destination, that the success of that dream will be all the proof that you need? It will be all the defense that you need. Nehemiah recognized that he didn't have time to get involved in long debates. He just said, I'm going to continue with even greater determination. I have a friend then, we recently caught up and had lunch together, and she's been in grad school, and she was telling me that her supervisor was very critical of her, and it caused her to start to doubt herself. She started wondering why she had worked so hard towards this career, and she was so intimidated and so discouraged that even when she graduated, she wasn't applying for any jobs. She wasn't going to any interviews because she was so intimidated by the criticism. And I reminded her, remember, you chose this dream over another one because you were confident and certain that this is what God positioned you and purposed you to do. Don't be derailed by someone else's criticism, by someone else's doubt about a dream that God has put in your heart. Continue with even greater determination. Your success of your dream will be all the proof that you need. Another distraction that we face towards our dreams is this: fear. Fear can derail our dream faster than anything else. And Nehemiah faced some fears as well. When Sanballat realized that criticism was not holding him back, he decided to start threatening Nehemiah's life. He organized an inside job, and he found someone inside the city of Jerusalem, and he got them to tell Nehemiah that his enemies were coming to kill him in his sleep, and he should run for safety and cling to the altar inside the temple. And it was a pretty ingenious plan, because the only people who were really allowed inside the temple were the priests, and Nehemiah was not a priest. And so for him to run inside the temple would violate the temple. It would be so offensive to the Jewish people that it would discredit Nehemiah as a leader. And what happened is Sanballat assumed that Nehemiah would value his life over the law. What he did not take into account is how Nehemiah valued his life in relation to his dream. Look at how Nehemiah responds when he's told to run for safety. He says, should someone in my position run from danger? Should someone in my position enter the temple to save his life? No, I won't do it. Should someone in my position? See, Nehemiah, as the leader of the project, realizes that his position to the mission is critical. His position to that dream is necessary for the completion. And if he was only in the dream for the benefit of himself, maybe he would have every reason to run and hide in safety. But this is about something bigger than Nehemiah. The completion of the wall around Jerusalem was about the success of the whole nation of Israel. Nehemiah could not just abandon that for the sake of saving his own life. Every dream will be met with some elements of the unknown. And that is where fear stalks us. It is the what ifs, right? The what ifs that have the potential to derail us faster than anything else. The question, what if no one believes in me? What if I get rejected? What if no one else in my life comes along? What if I can't get alone? What if no one will invest with me? The biggest one of all, what if I fail? Fear is a form of focus, and when we become so focused on the fears, it can cause us to lose sight of what could be and what should be. When we start making decisions based on the bad things that might happen rather than the good things that we know could and should happen, fear has begun to derail your dream already. Don't let fear derail your dream. Let faith be the determination of your dream. Be determined and have faith in the position that God has given you as your dream, to lead that dream, to move towards your divine destination. God has given you an important position. Don't be derailed by fear. Be determined by your faith. So those are two forms of distraction that Nehemiah faced that we can identify with, criticism and fear. And those are the easy ones, just so you know. Those are the easy ones to identify and for us to know how to deal with. When it comes to criticism, let it go. Move with even greater determination. Have a firmness of purpose towards your dream. When it comes to fear, let your faith be bigger than your fear. God's given you an important position. But have you ever considered that one of the greatest distractions to your dream can be disguised as opportunities? Opportunities will come along every single day that have the potential to derail your dream. More often than not, they will be good opportunities. Opportunities in your career, financial opportunities, maybe a relational opportunity. Sometimes it's just an opportunity to go have fun. And the reason that those opportunities can derail us so quickly is because they are so easy to justify. How do you know if it's a good opportunity or if it's maybe something that's a part of your dream? It can be hard to know the difference. So I want to back up to the beginning of chapter 6 if you're following along. We skipped over those few verses at the beginning because this is where I think we need to spend the most time. Because when it comes to our dream, opportunities are one of the greatest distractions, but they are the most difficult to identify and for us to know how to handle. But one of the very first distractions that Nehemiah faced was opportunity. Here's how he explains it. He says, "Then Sanballat and Geshem sent a message to me saying, 'Come, let us meet together at Shephiram in the plain of Ono.'" Basically, these guys have called Nehemiah down off of the project and they want to have a meeting with him. Their goal is to isolate him from his team so that they can kill him. But Nehemiah can't know all of that. What he does know is that his work is extremely important. And so he tells them, "I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? I'm doing a great work." In other words, I don't know what this meeting is about, but I've got important work going on over here and I can't just leave and abandon it because my work will suffer if I leave and come meet with you. Sometimes we will have to say no to some good things in order to accomplish the important things, especially when those good things interfere with the vision things. Nehemiah had no idea what that meeting was about, but it could have been a good opportunity. Could have been a political opportunity for Israel. Maybe they wanted to sign a peace treaty. He didn't know. But what he did know was that he was doing a great work, and he cannot come down from that. There will be opportunities that we are presented with, and it can be difficult to tell if those are good opportunities or if they are vision opportunities. So how do you know the difference? Look at what Nehemiah did. He weighed the cost. He said, "If I come down, the work will stop. If I leave what I'm doing, it's going to hinder the current work that I know for sure I'm supposed to be doing." So when you're presented with a good opportunity, there's a clarifying question that I think you should pause and ask yourself. And it's this: does this direct me towards my divine destination? Does this opportunity, does this job opportunity, does this relationship, does this event, this social event, does this financial purchase, does this investment direct me towards my divine destination? Or is it pulling me away towards something else? Is it in line with where I'm already going? Or is it taking me in a different direction? The best way that I can describe this to you is to tell you a personal story. Most of you know, if you've been around Wellspring this summer, that we just completed a project in our kids' wing as we were making room to grow. And the reason that we were making room to grow is because we have a dream as a church of seeing the next generation grow to love and serve Jesus. And part of that dream is also that we would be able to partner with their parents in that journey. And so that big dream does not come without a lot of distractions. We have to fight for it all the time. One of the things that we've been doing here at Wellspring for 4 years now is an event called Kids Celebrate. And if you don't know, Kids Celebrate is this big, fun worship night for kids where we invite kids to come and be a part of leading the worship experience. And students get to lead, and we have adult volunteers, and it requires months of planning, but it's an awesome thing that we do here at Wellspring. Well, this year, we did something that we have never done before in the history of Wellspring Church. This time last year, last fall, we put the date for Kids Celebrate on the calendar. And then in the spring, we began to promote Kids Celebrate and talk about it even from the stage, and kids started to sign up, and we were making big plans for Kids Celebrate. And then 5 weeks out from the date of Kids Celebrate, we made a difficult decision to postpone Kids Celebrate. It was not something that we took lightly. It was a difficult, difficult decision that we prayed a lot about, but here's what happened. When Horry County Schools announced their school calendar for the year, it was different than it's been in the past. It changed the pattern. They were going to start sooner than they usually do. And then at the end of July, they started putting out all of these dates where they were going to be having back-to-school events on the same week that we were supposed to be gearing up and practicing for Kids Celebrate. And we realized that that was going to interfere with our plans for Kids Celebrate. On top of that, we were also at the same exact time supposed to be wrapping up our Room to Grow project. And all of the people who were needed to make Room to Grow happen were also needed to make Kids Celebrate happen. So we came to this crossroads where we had to ask this question: does this direct me towards my divine destination? Does doing Kids Celebrate the week before school starts direct us towards our divine destination of being able to help families discover that life is better because of Jesus? And listen, us doing an event the week before school starts with kids was not helping parents. It was stressing them out. And our dream is not to hinder parents, it's to help them. And we couldn't continue in the work that we knew we needed to do in our family ministry if we didn't complete the kids wing expansion and complete it well. And so we had to make a decision where we said, Kids Celebrate has become a distraction. As awesome and great as it is, we believe in it. It's actually part of our vision and our strategy for family ministry. But there came a moment where it was interfering with our divine destination, our dream of being able to partner with families to make their life better. Sometimes a good opportunity comes along that we have to look at and we say, is this directing me towards my divine destination? And it might not mean no forever. Sometimes it just means not right now. For us, Kids Celebrate meant not right now. We're still doing it in just a few weeks, just not when we thought we were going to get to do it. When you are presented with a good opportunity, pause and ask yourself this question: does this direct me towards my divine destination? And if the answer is no, kindly remind yourself, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. And continue to move in the direction of your divine destination with even greater determination. Even greater determination. There will be things that come along. Moms, when you are tempted to add one more thing to your already busy lives, to your already busy family life, think about the dream that God has given you for your family and remind yourself, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Men, when you bring your work home and you have plans for heading to your study after dinner to continue working, look around your living room at your family and remind yourself, I'm already doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Students, single people, when you're presented with an opportunity for a relationship that you know is not God's best for you, don't settle. Trusting and waiting for God to ready you for the right person at the right time is a great work. You cannot come down from that. Or maybe you have a dream of eliminating your debt, but then you're presented with an opportunity to take the trip of a lifetime. Remind yourself, I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Your dream will be met with distractions that have the potential to derail your dream. They might come in the form of criticism. They might come in the form of fear. They might come in the form of good opportunities. But work towards your divine destination with even greater determination, because God has given you an important work to do. Nehemiah was doing something that was bigger than himself. He couldn't come down for that. And when the workers on the wall were beginning to get discouraged by all of the distractions too, I want to show you what Nehemiah told them, because he led them in the same way that he was responding to that criticism. He called them all together and he said to them, remember the Lord who's great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. In other words, God is the one who positioned us for this, and he is on our side. He is on our side, so stay determined and fight for what matters the most. This message today is for anyone in the room who has a dream of something getting better. But I want to take just a moment and specifically encourage any of you who are parents, who are grandparents, who are educators, or maybe you just volunteer with kids in some capacity or with students in some capacity. What you are doing, how you are leading, the dream that God has given you is so much bigger than yourself. It is about the next generation. You are doing an important, great work. Do not be distracted by the things that stand in your way of that. Continue with greater determination and remind yourself, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down for that. You are doing a great work. If God has put a dream in your heart for young people or for the next generation, something that is bigger than yourself, it is great work. Do not be distracted by the things that tempt to derail your dream. I think maybe this is why I relate so well to Nehemiah's story. Because of this church in this place and how we are greatly determined to reach the next generation. We are a church, a place that is greatly determined towards our dream of helping young people, kids, students, and even their families to discover that better is possible because of Jesus. And it does not come without distractions, but we are greatly determined. If you are new to Wellspring Church, you need to know that this place is full of people of all ages who are determined to help young people discover that life with Jesus is better. There is a multi-generational effort going on right here that is taking the next generation to a better life. It's why and how we were able to make the Room to Grow project possible because of all of you who came alongside of us to make that dream a reality. And if you haven't had a chance to see it yet, I want to give you a glimpse into what we were able to do through Room to Grow and how God has already begun to fill those spaces with steps towards life change. Check this out. some of the faces. You can clap for that. Some of the faces that you just saw in that video were baptized last week at Beach Baptism. It's so awesome to see that. Thank you for helping us make that possible and for coming along and being a part of our dream here at Wellspring Church. But no matter what your dream is, we hope that you will leave here today with an even greater determination, that you will not be derailed by the distractions that you face, but that you will work with determination towards the divine destination that God has put in your heart, and that you will continue to fight for what matters the most.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.